I have a post in a thread, MT4 indicator requests and ideas. Do you see that indicator? It's really not that complicated. It is basically three currency pair price series overlaid on top of each other, scaled to fit on top of each other. Now, don't get your heart in a fucking tizzy, because it don't work. It will. It'll work better than some of that crap you guys are doing. But, it don't work, you know. Basically, when one is up above the center of the three, you sell it. And when one is below, then you grid it back to center. Now, the problem is it's going to dig in. Now, if you could figure out how to do it, you'd be in good business. Okay? You'd be in good business. That's the one my partner stole from me. He started setting it up, you know. You know that house I showed up in the top of this thread, the really nice house? He took my first program and he cut me out of the deal. He left me there at his house working, developing, and he was down the street opening live accounts with my software. Okay. Okay. Totally fucked me. 3 years after he and I parted ways, we'd been together at his house for about a year and a half, 2 years, something like that, and I ended up being homeless for 3 years, and then I ended up with a system that I developed, sleeping in the streets, working at the library, eating at homeless food lines. Hey, I'm gonna tell you something, there ain't no shame in my game. I ended up with four people coming to me at the Oanda Forum, and they said, hey, I got $1,000 for you, I got $1,000 for you, I got $1,000 for you, I got $1,000 for you. And then there was this other guy, Mike something, Mike Stay. Mike Stay was his name. Mike Stay is a guy, he talked about putting 10 grand in. I'm going to tell you something, the shit would have snowballed. But I called up my partner and I was like, hey, you want to pick up where we left off? You know, he is more polished in the office than I am. Okay, and you know what? I really wanted to finish. I mean, okay, so his ass is dragging. He ain't got the balls to do what I do. Fuck it, I'll pick your ass up. I don't give a shit. I'll pick you up and drag you to the fucking finish line, motherfucker. I'll drag your ass to the finish line. But, you know, can't make a man have ethics and morals. You know, you can't do it. And I kind of know that today. But anyway, so I went out to his house and I took my computers there. And you know what he did? He made changes to my code. He changed my throttle variable. He made one... he turned one, he set up two identical systems. I didn't want him to do that. I had more programming work to do. I don't want to be making adjustments to two systems when I could only make adjustments to one. Okay. He just added complexity to my programming, systems. But he wanted to do different risk levels. I'm like, bro, I just got here, bro. You just got here. I've been on this shit for 5 fucking years. And I just got here. And you're making changes to my code one day in? You know, he changed my throttle variable from 0.0025, which is 0.25%. On one of the systems, he had it running at 0.02, which is 8 times as fast. Putting the bets on the table. 8 times as much margin usage. And the other he had at 0.05, which is 20 times as fast. And that's the equivalent of if I loan you my car and I say, please don't drive it over 50 miles an hour. If on one day you're going 8 times as fast, you're going 400 miles an hour in my car. You're going to crash. And if on another day you're doing 20 times as fast, that's 1,000 miles an hour. And, you know, our partnership agreement was that he would not take my software and cut me out of the deal. I mean, that's a gentleman's agreement. You can't enforce. I mean, if someone steals my software, I don't know what you're running in your private bedroom. This isn't like a product that's got a patent on it. And if I see it being sold at Walmart, you know I can take you to court. You know, you can't do that. It's not a publicly used product. You really can't. It's difficult. It's extremely difficult. It's next to impossible. I mean, you don't even know what someone is running on their trading system. But you can't enforce it. It's a gentleman's agreement, and there is no such agreement in my world anymore. Anyway, he set up two systems. He added complexity to my programming. We were only trading $4,000. There was no need to have a high risk and a low risk system. No, that's bullshit. I told him, I said, you know what? There's only one thing we should be concerned with today, and that is having our heads above water 90 days from today. That should be our only concern. Okay? That should be our only concern. And he looked at me and he said, I know what I'm doing. Excuse me? You know what you're doing. I looked at him, I said, you know, you're going to fuck this up. Why don't you just buy me out? And, you know, he wasn't supposed to do that. Yeah. You know what he said? Before I even hardly finished the sentence, he said, pick a number. And I said, 10 grand. And he said, I'll have it for you in the morning. And you know what this piece of fucking garbage told me as he was walking me to the driveway? He said, you know what you ought to do, Edward? I said, what? What ought I do? He said, you ought to start your own trading company. Is that funny? Is that funny somewhere in there? I mean, to steal my fucking software and then to look at me and advise me, hey, you ought to think about starting your own trading company, bruh. Yeah, real fucking funny. It's like if I carjack your car and as I throw you out on the fucking ground, I look at you and I go, you know what you ought to think about doing? You ought to think about getting a car for yourself. That's basically what he did to me. True story. I went back into the Forex factory and I told him, I said, this dude gave me 10 grand, stole my fucking shit. They laughed at me and called me a liar. Or no, they called me stupid for being robbed. No, you're not stupid. You're not any more stupid for being robbed than a rape victim is stupid for getting raped. You're not stupid for being robbed any more than a murder victim is stupid for being murdered. I mean, you might have walked down the wrong street, but you know what? You're not stupid for being the victim of a crime. Okay? Anyways, even after he did that to me, you know what he did? He called me like a week later. I got messages on my voicemail. Oh, it's margin calling. It's your fault again. You fucking... God damn it. That's what he did. He called me up blaming me. He's got the fucking throttle variable at 0.02 and 0.05. And he's calling me, blaming me that it's margin calling. He knocked the 4,000 down to about 900. And then he wouldn't take my calls. Okay. You know what I did? A year later, I called him and I said, you know, I was sitting in the parking lot of a library in San Jose, California. I was living in my van. I had a van at this time. I had a Ford Aerostar van. I kind of liked living in it. I mean, that's a cool fucking place to live compared to sleeping on the sidewalk on a piece of cardboard. You know, I got a place to keep my bullshit. I got a place to, you know, lock the doors and chill. So I called him up from sitting at the library and I said, hey, he happened to answer the phone and I said, man, hey, fuck the dumb shit. I said, let's make this thing work. I'm working on something. And he said, you want me to call the boss? You want me to call Shariar? That's the guy that owns the big fancy house I showed you the video of. I said, yeah, call him. Now, you know why he's being receptive to me now? Okay, you know why? Because I said, yeah, call the boss. Call Shahryar. I said, yeah, call him. I'll meet with him. Well, Mark looked at me and he said, you know what I did with your software? Is it margin called and knocked everything down to about 900? I put the throttle variable back where you said to put it, and I threw the whole fucking thing in a closet and just let it run for a year, and it pumped it up to 10,000. Yay. That's what he did with my project. He treated it like a fucking carnival trick. Okay? You with me? So anyway, I meet this fucking fat fuck, Shahryar. We meet at one of his warehouses, office warehouses. He claims to own the entire park. Not a word comes out of his mouth is true, so I don't believe anything. But we're sitting in the conference room at one of his office warehouses. And he's got a laptop in front of him, and he looks at me and he says, okay, what do you need to make this project work? And I said, well, I'd like 1,000 in the account right now. I'd like 1,000 for me and 1,000 for Mark. I actually thought Mark was belly up broke. I actually went to bat for this piece of shit. So anyway, Shahryar looks at me and he says, no, we don't put 1,000 in the account, we put 10,000. Well, it's kind of a complex thing for you to understand why he said that. Because he's sitting on an account with Mark's name on it. On the laptop that's in front of him, he doesn't know that there's a MetaTrader installed on that laptop that's in front of him. He doesn't know that Mark's live account is on that fucking laptop sitting across from me in this conference room. He doesn't know, but he knows that the live account has 10,000 in it. He just doesn't know that it's installed on that computer. He doesn't recognize the MetaTrader icon on the desktop. So anyway, Shahryar looks at me and he says, tell me how to install it. See, he's trying to take control. He's trying to take control. Okay. He wants to know how to run it because he's going to throw me out of the fucking car again. Okay. I want to understand this because as a programmer, I want to know how you pieces of fucking garbage operate. Okay. I want to know how you fucking digital rapists do your shit. Okay, I want to know, okay? So I'm sitting there at this conference room with this dude, and you know what? I was going to make a cup of coffee. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have an alcoholic beverage while I'm talking to you, which I don't drink much at all. I'm having a Bang mix. I don't know what it is. It's a nice, hard seltzer. It tastes like a wine. It's good. Oh, that's nice. It tastes medicine-y. So anyway, I'm sitting there at this table, and Shahryar looks at me, and he goes, Tell me how to install the MetaTrader. I say, you know, I mean, I think by this time, we were already, I would install it a specific way. I think we were already doing that sandbox thing. I'm not sure. You know, where you had to install it in a different directory and then load it up with the portable parameter and all that bullshit. He didn't know how to do that. So I told him, I said, why don't you just let me do it? No, I will do it, he said. It's because he wants to control my project and he's going to throw me out of the car. And so guess what? This is a year after my partner stole my shit, margin called, and then reset my parameter, my throttle variable, back to where I told him to put it, and he just threw my fucking beloved project in a closet and let it run for a year. And so it had steadily taken that $900, and I mean, it looks like one of those back test equity curves, that it just crawled up to... It just crawled up to 10,000. Just a very steady slope. So when Shahryar got frustrated and he couldn't get the Metatrader installed, he goes, okay, you do it. And he turns the laptop. This is a rich man acting like a fucking child, okay? He turns the laptop around. He tells me, he says, okay, you do it. I take one look at that fucking screen, and guess what I see? I see a Metatrader icon. Click, click. Guess whose name's on it? My fucking beloved partner that bought me out for 10 grand. I do a detailed statement. I look at that equity curve going from 900 up to 10,000. Oh, ho, ho, ho. I look at Shahryar and I say, Shahryar, we got the count here with Mark's name on it. You know what he does? He starts lying to me. He goes, oh, he'd been cheating me. He'd been this, he'd been that. He tell me he got gold coins now. He got money. He's rich in Hawaii. Man, this motherfucker, I'm going to tell you something. This motherfucker don't know what the truth is. He tried to say Mark is cheating him. Bullshit. You motherfuckers, I don't think any of you know how to tell the truth sometimes. I don't think any of you know how to tell the truth. So, I watched this guy. He's got my live account. My fucking project. I'm sitting there looking at this piece of garbage. Okay? All the reason he was willing to hook up with me again was because that trading system turned $900 into $10,000 in 1 year. Man, you know what? From $1,000 to $10,000 is a 900% gain. And you know what? That's big fucking profit, people. That's big, especially when it's steady. It's not one of these erratic fucking equity curves that's like up one day, down the next, like a fucking, you know, somebody's having a heart attack on the EKG or some bullshit. So, you know, these motherfuckers are trying to rob me again. They trying to rob me again. And I know this has already taken 17 minutes of your precious life, but I got 17 years in this project, bro. You know what I'm saying? 17 years. So, anyway, Shahryar ends up putting me up in one of his townhouses that he owns. And you know what he does? As soon as he puts me in this townhouse, it's an empty townhouse I'm sleeping in, working on the project. You know the first thing this motherfucker does? He tries to separate me from my computers. He calls me up. He says, Edward, do you work too much on this project? You need to get out. Let's go to a movie or something. Excuse me? I'm working on this fucking project and he wants to go on a movie date with me? No, you know what he wanted? He wanted me to leave my computers at that house. They would come in and copy my hard drives while we're gone. And that would be all they needed from me. I mean, these are some thieving bastards. Okay, now here's the kick. Later on down the road, and I dig this, I actually converted to Islam. I took my Shahada. Oh, jeez. You know, I was hook, line, and sinker. I was in it. I was running to my prayers. Hello, Akbar. Oh, all that. Yeah. True story. And the boy that had invited me to Islam, I worked for him in a computer company in Houston. And I was telling him this story about how this guy in California had stolen, ran off with my software and given me 10 grand. And this guy looks at me and he goes, can I have a copy of that software, Edward? See, when you tell these rich, greedy fuckers that you're working on some kind of arbitrage, wow, they go nuts. It's like telling a dope fiend you got a bag of crack cocaine. It's the same thing. They go nuts. Anyway, I looked at him and I was like, bro, you're not listening to me. I'm telling you, I'm trying to keep this work private. I'm trying. I don't know if I can, but I'm trying. And he don't say nothing. You know what he does? He invites me to prayer at this other mosque up here in Northwest Houston. And I had my computer bag with me. And I had a laptop, briefcase style, leather type of laptop bag. It had a pouch on either side I could put an IBM ThinkPad in. One of the pouches was designed for a laptop. The other was designed for like papers and file folders and stuff. But it fit a laptop just fine. And what I would do is I would put the laptops in with the hinge facing down. I don't want the lip facing down because the lip is kind of fragile. And I'd always put the screen facing outwards and the base facing in, because in the center pouch, stuff that was kind of clunky and would, it might damage the screen if the screen is facing inwards. And in the center pouch, I had my power cables coiled up really nice and careful. And I would put the Velcro strap around them. And then I would put one power cable at one end of the center pouch and one power cable at the other end of the center pouch. And when this man invited me to go to prayer after I told him I couldn't give him my software, I thought he forgot about it. No, he took me to prayer at this other mosque. No, we stood together. I thought this guy really cared about me. I really thought this dude cared about me. They used to tell me, "Oh, we're so happy you embrace Islam, Edward." Shut the hell up. They don't appreciate nothing about me. I was nothing but a puppet and a pawn and a bitch for these motherfuckers. I'm going to tell you what they did to me. When I had something they wanted, I told this guy, I said, this thing turned $900 into $10,000 in a year. He wanted his hands on it. That's where our brotherly thing in Islam ended. After prayer, we went into a small room to share food, which is very common in Islam. Well, usually in Islam, you don't hand out single serving plates to everybody. Not usually. Okay? Not usually. Usually, if you're sitting down with, half a dozen men, you're going to eat from one big ass plate, maybe two big plates. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it's done. When they handed me a single serving plate with rice and a piece of chicken, and I'm going to tell you something, that shit had knockout drugs in it. And when these knockout drugs hit you, bam, you go from conscious to unconscious in about 10 seconds. And it's not where you're like, "Oh God, I feel so fucked up." No, you don't feel all woozy and bullshit, no. Okay? No. You know what you do feel? You feel like, "Oh, I'm going to sleep." In fact, you fall out so quick that you might not even notice. If you're not a person that has decades of weed smoking behind you, you might not even notice. You might not even notice the buzz, okay? So anyway, 10, 15 seconds, I'm on the floor and completely unconscious. And when I wake up, I knew what had happened. Soon as my eyes opened. And when you go from unconscious to conscious, it comes back that quick. There's no, "Oh, you're laying around all drowsy and droozy and..." No. No. You're not like, "Oh, I'm having trouble waking up." No. Lights turn on that quick. I'm just telling you. And, when I woke up, I didn't just go, "Hey, which one of you motherfuckers robbed me?" No. Because these are the guys that swing swords. I don't know. They might kill me. Okay? They might. I mean, they could have killed me drugging me, And so, When I regained consciousness, I didn't sit up immediately. I just laid there and played cool. Kept my eyes closed. And then I sat up and acted like I was totally unaware that anything had happened. Totally unaware that I'd been knocked out. And I was always fiddle-farting around with my computers and my computer bag, you know. So, you know, I gave it a couple minutes. I mean, what good's it going to do me to rush over and check my laptop bag? No, the crime's already been pulled off, right? It's too late, okay? The criminal has been in the hen house and he's gone with the hens, okay? So anyway, after a few minutes, I reach over and I open one of my, maybe I open the center pouch, but in the center pouch, my power cables that I normally, every time, coil up real careful, put the Velcro strap around. Bro, that shit looked like kittens had been tangling that shit up. My power cables were loose and just jumbled up and shoved into the fucking bag. My laptops, both of them, were inserted incorrectly into the bag. You know what I said about it? Not a fucking thing. I mean, what good's it gonna do me? If they're brazen enough to do that shit, you think they're just gonna go, oh, you caught me. I'm an experienced criminal. And I'm like, I put the pieces together and I'm like, well, I got took. But on that day, I'm going to tell you what, I realized, you know, maybe this religion's true, but I'm going to tell you something. Shh. There ain't no love from these motherfuckers to me, okay? And you know what, if I'm not allowed to call you a motherfucker and you drugged me and robbed me, fuck you. I had it happen to me on another occasion. You know, after my partner gave me that 10 grand, one of my friends in San Francisco, now by this time I was living in a nice apartment. They'd given me housing in San Francisco. And I had a nice apartment, you know, marble countertops. I had a bathroom big enough you could rollerblade in it. I let my friend walked to the bank with me and I counted out the 10 grand and put it in my account, put it in my trading account, and I lost it. You know, that's the truth. I did. I lost it. I was so fucking mad I couldn't see straight. That's what the problem was. I was so mad I couldn't think straight. Okay, having my shit stolen from me like that. I mean, I had investors on the line and, you know. So, my friend walked to the bank with me and saw me putting that money in the bank. And then he picked my brain and figured out how my software worked. And he said, he told me later on, he said, I knew you had something because nobody gives you 10 grand for nothing. So he came over, he called me like next day and he said, hey, Edward, you on that computer too much, man. I'm bringing pizza over. Let's sit around and be buddies. Yeah. I kid you not. I mean, I was in the Tenderloin of San Francisco. This guy's well connected. He knows how to buy the date rape drug, and he bought it and he put it in my pizza. When he brought the pizza in, I jumped up and I said, "Oh, let me get a piece." And he said, "No, let me get it for you." He knew which piece had the drug in it. Okay. I mean, it's real easy to sprinkle some drug in the cheese of a piece of pizza, you know, and mark it with a jalapeno or something. You know what I'm saying? Put a little mark on it somehow. And he did. He drugged me. And I woke up a couple hours later. He's sitting there in my apartment grinning at me. And I knew what he did. When you eat that drug, it just knocks you the fuck out. Anyway, so Shariar robbed me. Mark robbed me. And then my friend, my Islamic brother, robbed me. Drugged me and robbed me inside of a masjid. Masjid is just another word for mosque. And, isn't that something? So when I went to the Forex factory, you know, I fully recognize I am one weird motherfucker. I'm weird, okay? It's my sense of humor. It's that I don't just sit on the sidelines with my hands crossed and going, okay, what do we do next? No, I'm fucking breaking down walls. I'm knocking down tsunamis, okay? I'm doing shit, okay? You know what? Most people in society are flatlined compared to me. Most of them are brain dead compared to me, okay? Literally. Literally. Okay? All right? So when I went into the Forex factory, they, and I told them, I said, you know, I got robbed from my software. Oh, if you had a 900% system, brah, you'd be using it, brah. No. No. See, that system, if I would have had Mark at the helm, yeah, I could have been sitting over in the corner, finishing the code, polishing the code, but can I manage a company and manage my personal affairs and properly manage people's money? No. No. It's like I had somebody here in the forum ask me recently. They said, oh, bro, if you got the Holy Grail, what do you need other people for? Why don't you just put $100 or $200 in and shit, you'll be rich soon. I'm like, shut the fuck up, you dipshit motherfucker. Whoever said that, I mean, you know what? I'm not going to be gentle, okay? That's a stupid thing to say. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a secret. You ever see one of these big oil tankers? See, I live on a boat, and where I'm on my boat, I can see oil tankers go by. I'm going to tell you something. Those are some big motherfuckers. And you don't run those with just one person. You got a team. You know, when it comes to running a trading company, you got people that handle investor relations, payouts, incoming capital, got banking and brokerage issues, you got accounting and legal issues, right? You got all kind of things that need to be handled. So when these snot-nosed little brats come to me and they're like, bruh, if you got the Holy Grail, bruh. Oh, shut the fuck your goddamn mouth, bitch. You know, I remember when I was a criminal, I had problems with people. I couldn't seem to manage people. I didn't know how to do it. I knew how to do shit by myself. I remember one time I had this little black dude. He was a mover for me. Whenever I wanted to move from location A to point B, I would go down to one of the day laborers and I'd put on some jeans and a shirt and I'd walk in and I'd sit down and I'd watch everybody. I'd already figured out who I wanted to work for me, and I'd just stand up and I'd say, I need four guys to work for me. Oh, Jesus, they'd about stampede me. And anyway, this one little guy, he worked for me as a mover, and He came to me after the job, and he's like, hey, bro, I see what you're doing here, man. You're doing something. I want in. I said, okay, you know we're committing felonies, right? Yeah, bro, that's okay, man. That's okay. I can do it. I said, okay, can you work on the phone? Okay, I'm going to have you raising accounts for me. Yeah, I can do it. I can do it. Okay, I can do it. Well, anyway, I put this dude on my phone. I gave him a pitch. I told him how to pretend he was the bank, and he would call you up and do a thing. And so, you know what? I trust too many fucking people. I put him to work, and I went down the street and had me some scotch and waters and an appetizer at the, you know, the Chili's or whatever. And I come back, but see, guess what? I had a baby monitor, which is basically an intercom in the room. It's so you can listen to a baby. You know, so a mother can listen to the baby when she's walking around the house. And I had a baby monitor up under the desk. And I had the receiver in my car. And so when I pulled back to the house, I turned on the baby monitor. And guess what I hear this dipshit saying? Oh, bro, you wouldn't believe what this dude's got me doing up here. Oh, shit. I was like, damn, he's ratting me out already. So I walk up into my apartment, and I open the door really loud, you know, and I slam the door so he could hear me coming in. And you know what he does? He pretends he's wrapping up a call on the phone. So I walk into my little home office, and I look at him, and I go, how's it going, bro? How you doing? You know, now, keep in mind, this motherfucker is making no money right now. But if he would have done what I said, I would have been dropping $2,000-$3,000 a week in his pocket. Okay? That would have been one hell of a come-up. Okay? That would have been one hell of a come-up. And so I walk in the office, and I go, how you doing, bro? You get anything? Oh, no, not yet. Motherfucker was just on the phone running his fucking chops, telling his friend, oh, you wouldn't believe what this dude's got me doing up here. Like I twisted his fucking arm or something, you know. I looked at him and I said, hey, you see that thing up under the desk? You see that thing with the antenna on it? Yeah, I see it. Do you know what that is? What? What is it? It's called a baby monitor. It allows me to sit out in the car and listen to you on the phone telling your friend what the fuck we're doing in here. Oh, really? Yep, pretty much. And, so... I looked at him and I said, why don't you do me a favor and just get the fuck out of here? You know what he does? He gets up and leaves. He calls me from a payphone. Hey, bro, you give me $2,000 or I'm going to rat you out. Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what I did? I hired movers. I was out of there. But you know what happened? In the middle of that move, this son of a bitch really did rat me out. And I'm getting kind of drunk on this drink. I don't drink a lot. Cops showed up. I had movers moving my furniture. I come back. I drank a little bit back then. This is really a rare thing for me to have this alcohol right now. But I went down the street and had me a scotch. I mean, I was a full-time criminal. You know, drinking was a normal thing for me. I used to meet at the titty bars and meet my friend, and we'd do our little thing there. And so I come back, and goddamn, my movers are fucking running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Hey, bro, what's going on, man? The cops were up here throwing us up against the wall, said they're looking for you. I said, well, here I am. Here I am. Where are they at? Oh, I don't know, but we took all your furniture, and we're not giving it back to you until you give us an extra $2,000. I swear to God, that's what they did to me. I said, you know what? Why don't you go fuck yourself and keep that goddamn furniture? I don't give a shit about you or your furniture. I got half of it back. They had undercover cops up my ass fucking a month. I didn't give a shit. Of course, I had that little fucking dude that ratted me out. Now they know my game. He went and described for him my whole game. Shit. That's all right. I just changed my MO. Went over to passing checks for a while. Anyways, you know what? At the tail end of my crime spree, I'm really glad I got arrested in October of 92 because I was getting bigger than my britches. And I was planning an armed robbery. I was going to steal $250,000 pounds of copper and... Truth is, I was prepared to kill half a dozen people in this company to take their copper. I mean, I'm cold-blooded. I have the ability to be cold like a Komodo dragon. No kidding. I mean, I'm not tough with my hands, but I have the ability to be cold as fucking ice. Okay? I have the ability to be cold as steel. No doubt. I mean, my plan was to steal $250,000 of copper, which I don't remember what the value of that shit was, $1, $2 a pound. Copper is very desirable for a thief because it doesn't have serial numbers on it. You can chop it up, you can grind it up, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do to it. You can melt it down and recast it or something. I could have just sat on it for a couple years, you know, $250,000 of copper, and I would have killed 6 or 8 people. I'm cold motherfucking blooded, people. I'm cold motherfucking blooded. Do you get it? I'm literally a clinically diagnosed sociopath. I'm the real fucking thing. I'm a clinically diagnosed narcissist, which means I love to outperform. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. I spend a lot of time getting to know myself. I'm going to get another drink. I really don't drink often, but I'm sitting here bearing my soul to you, so I might as well. People talk a lot when they drink, so I'm drinking my truth serum. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? You know, if you knew what my code does, anyway, I was prepared to kill everybody in the company, Joker style, and I was going to kill everybody on my crew. Shit. I remember one time when I was doing mail fraud, I wiped out this dude. I wiped this motherfucker out. I wiped this motherfucker. I stole 50 grand of his shit. He signed for 50 grand of electronics and shipped it to me. And at the tail end, I was sitting there. I got a stretch limo to make the pickup. And you know, one of the big long ones with the big J, the L seat in it. Not a six pack, you know, a big L seat. And I had that motherfucker stacked with electronic circuit boards, floor to ceiling. I could barely get in the back of the limo. I had 50 grand of this dude's shit. And he calls me up on an unmarked cell phone. That means it's a cell phone purchased illegally. Somehow it's not registered to my name. Some bullshit. And he calls me up as I'm just loading the last of the product into that limo. And he's like, what's your phone number? I was like, oh shit, here it comes. I said, what do you mean, what's my phone number? You just called me. He said, that's a cell phone. He was asking me, what's your real, like, landline phone number? Because he'd realized that he just shipped 50 grand of product to a prepaid phone, basically. Yeah. He didn't know who the fuck he sent his shit to. And he signed for all of it on credit. He put himself in debt to do this. And I said, you just called me. You got my phone number. He said, that's a cell phone. What's your real phone number? And I just looked at him on the phone and I said, you know, because I was cold-blooded. I mean, you know, I said, let me ask you something. Don't you think it's a little late for all this? And he started crying. I ruined that man's life. I literally ruined that man's life financially. I devastated him. And I can't change it. There's some poor man across the country. Got up in the morning and had a dream and I fucking ass-fucked him out of his dream. I just totally destroyed him. I totally destroyed him. And there's no way I can change it. Well, there is. I mean, you know what? I know his company name. Some god-awful reason, if I were to put this trading company together, which I wouldn't hold your breath, because I don't get any help. I'm going to tell you what I do. I look his ass up and I deliver a footlocker of cash to his front fucking door. I'll make sure I'm doing it to the right person. Let me ask you something. If somebody ripped you off and devastated you, but then delivered you a big fucking footlocker of cash, would you be okay with that? Yeah, there's a couple people I want to do that to. Anyways, most people are not understanding. You know, I've had CryptoSurf. CryptoSurf, oh my God. CryptoSurf is one of the dominant players at Forex Factory. I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'm a weird dude. I had some weird fucking excursions into their threads. But you know what? They have a commercial section. They could have just banished me to the commercial section and said, that's the only place you're allowed to post. I would have been okay with that. You know what? They even put one of my threads in the recycle bin one time. And I was like, I just kept posting in the recycle bin. They said, we've never had anyone post in the recycle bin. I said, well, you know what? You ought to open your fucking eyes, bitch. And realize that I do things in ways that other people don't do things. Hey, you know, I'm a terminal patient with COPD right now. I almost died a few days ago. I had a lung seizure here just before I made this recording. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm able to form a team, the first thing my team has to do is to sit down in a think tank fashion, and they have to look at this situation with Mark and Shariar, and they have to try to put them back in their seats. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to handle things in a first-class fashion, just like I do my code. I don't care if you believe I have anything. Have a Merry Christmas and go fuck yourself at least twice. Have a nice day.